Hello, humans, and welcome to a bonus episode of Audio Face. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
See, look, I did it the normal way this time.
Thank you.
Just for you.
For not fucking up the intro.
I like to keep things different. Apparently, Audio Face would like to reward different, but you know, Sean likes to keep things the same because he's just vanilla. Ladies.
No, I'm Latin. Don't sleep.
Hashtag circ. This is a podcast not about. This is a podcast where two best friends publicly harangue each other for the amusement of a couple dozen people. And we talk about music news and music culture, but you already know this because why would you click on a bonus episode if you haven't already listened to the podcast? This bonus episode, as you've clicked on already, is about the Arctic Monkeys because as we're recording this, the Arctic Monkeys are going to be releasing a new album, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, soon. And we like to do these rundowns. You all right, dog?
It was so subtle. That's the thing, and nobody understands that but us. Pause. And it was beautiful. It was hilarious. I forgot about that.
And never forget.
There's going to be tigers and shit. But, don't sleep.
But, I forgot to ask, you also, it's fair to say that since the last podcast happened, you had a birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Allegedly. Yes. Thank you. That's why I'm taking my annual trip up to Free Speech Studios for my birthday. But we always have to wait till after finals, so that way Dan's not shooting himself.
Yeah, I'm recording this in between finals, so if I'm brain dead or, you know,
rest in peace, happening. Dan.
Rip my last finals, though, so I'm
drinking your way
flailing my way to the finish line. And correct. Anyways, so we're going to do, as we do with some of the bands that have, like, more prolific histories, or if we're expecting an artist to really change things up for a new album, which I think both can be said for the Arctic Monkeys. We like to do these kind of, run-throughs to kind of get you up to speed, just in case. And so with that, we just go in general chronological order. But let's just say the Arctic Monkeys, they formed in Sheffield. They're English in 2002.
Yay, English people are so cool. Woohoo. The joke, because damn.
Yeah, shout out to my kind of roots. but, you know, you could kind of go through their signing, doing whatever. Let's get to their first album. Whatever People Say They Am, That's What I'm Not. Sean, did you hear this album when it came out? Or when did you first hear this?
I didn't hear that album until after Favorite Worst Nightmare came out, which is the year after. In like 2007, 2008 is when I started to hear them. Because there's a couple songs on Whatever People Say. It's like 1975, I Like It When You Sleep. I'm just calling it that. It's too long of a title. So, Whatever People Say. That's what I'm saying. Once I heard I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor and When the Sun Goes Down off of those albums, when those started to become more popular radio hits, that's when I really started to listen to them. So that was probably 2007, 2008. About a year after that album came out. Because that's when, at least in the US, that's when they started to become a bit more popular and more mainstream. When, you know, rock wasn't dead, hashtag, and also radio didn't suck donkey dick, so.
Well, alternative music was really kind of having a heyday in that 2003, 2007 kind of period.
Yeah, I mean, and Rainbows came out the tail end of 2007, and a bunch of just beautiful music was coming out then. And then people got a hold of the electronics, and I don't want to go rant, so.
We'll be having our trap conversation.
We'll be having, oh, Jesus, people aren't ready for that. Like, if I, never mind. too much sauce. Yeah, so for a debut album, it's really good. I should give you a general thing of the Arctic Monkeys. I've always liked them, but I've never really like got obsessed with them like I have with other bands. If that makes sense. I don't know.
I get you.
Yeah, because with the discography and stuff, a lot of it can kind of blend together. But I'll get more into that later. But I'm just giving kind of a general overview of my opinions on them. But we'll go album by album. Yeah. Album by album. Yeah. So whatever people say is a great debut album. It just establishes their sound, their tone, and gets them a couple popular hits on the radio, and they'll start to do different shows, open up for bigger bands until they can establish themselves with a couple more albums. The weird thing, though, is that they had an album come out right after, like the year after, which is kind of, which is pretty rare for an alternative band, especially after your debut album. The next year, you release another album. Like, damn, you're on some Coldplay shit right there. Just release an album after album. But we'll get to Hitler's Nightmare in a bit. Well, what do you think about whatever people say? What do you have
to say? So this is an interesting conversation because we experienced this
in different
countries. I guess I'd say before we met, and in different countries.
Yeah, like,
right,
like,
before we met and in different countries.
Like, when did I meet you? 2008? Yeah, so around that time.
Yeah. And so I experienced the Arctic Monkeys right as it was coming out, and I just remember hearing the song. So yeah, because this is audio, the first Arctic Monkeys album has a very long, and pretty much every single song of the album has very long titles, but it's Whatever People Say I Am, comma, That's What I'm Not. And so the first song I heard from the Arctic Monkeys was Perhaps Vampires Is a Bit Strong, but it's near the end of the album. But I think everything you need to get from the Arctic Monkeys and kind of a lot of their core sound is in that song, as well as Dancing Shoes, which is another song I heard kind of shortly after. Those might have been the singles. They got a decent amount of airplay in England because, you know, we actually care about music there. And it was just a really fresh album that came out. I love that. I love when alternative albums artists really come out guns blazing, so to speak, and that they just kind of pull up all the stops. And I have my tendencies towards like upbeat, fast-paced rock, and they really delivered on that.
I was
really pleased. I bought the CD. I was kind of before my really peak concert going days, so I didn't go there, and that's a little bit too much for my like uncle. So we didn't really do that, but we can go into favorite worst nightmare as well. Which, can I start with that?
Yeah, how about it?
Gives me goosebumps. Is how I feel about that album. It's very, I don't even know like where I start with that. Brian Storm is just this, I love saying Brian Storm because I think of it as Brainstorm, but whatever. It's just fun to say. I think it's very rare for an album to start and end so beautifully. Mm-hmm. And the Arctic Monkeys don't always do it, but they know how to, and they really did it. I love just humming, singing to the song 505. I think it's impossible for me to hear that song and not want to sing it. And that's how, I think that's Arctic Monkeys at their best, when they just have these like ballads that are kind of like happy drunk shit you sing. Like that's kind of their vibe. I think that's really when they're at their best. But go ahead, Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, this is the one that with Fluorescent Adolescent, that song, that's what made them take off here. That was played everywhere. That's when I got to listen to them more. Because that song, I go, well, these guys are pretty good. I want to listen more and see what's up. And that whole album is really, really good. It establishes even more of their sound. That's when they started to do the weird vocal trick that they do a lot, which is have like a little...
That's right.
I won't even say chorus, but really high-pitched vocals that are backing and mimicking the main vocals. I don't even know what you call that exactly in music terms, but that you could hear a little bit in this album, and that was amplified by especially their latest album, AM, tenfold. And that's where they really established themselves as a good alternative band, not just fast-paced rock, but kind of blending the two together, and really, really got it going. 505 is a fantastic song. Absolutely love that song. Overall, a really, really solid album, especially for a sophomore album coming so close after your debut. It's not that often that you get something that good. Also, the big thing with them too is a lot of, they don't have really, really long songs, and they don't have really, really short songs. They're all pretty close to each other. Like, the shortest song, I think, is just over 2 minutes, and the longest is just over 4 in that album. So with that, and that's pretty much most of their albums, it's very consistent listening to as a complete album. Nothing, there's no fillers, there's nothing really that's bullshitty. How a lot of stuff, especially today, in alternative and trap and a bunch of other genres, where people put filler tracks trying to connect them or other stuff, this is just straight up as it is. And those are always my favorite albums, where if it's 10, 12, 13 songs, but all the songs are 3.5 minutes long, and they're all great, that's some of my favorite stuff. For this genre, especially.
You said a bunch of stuff there that I'm going to try to get to before we go forward, but I think you said a lot of things that were just characteristically good about the Arctic Monkeys that I want to make sure that we get by. So, all the things you said about song structure, I really love, because what they do almost expertly is they know how to get to the point in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so in doing that and working with the constraint of, I guess, time and attention, they go directly from like bridge to chorus to verse in like the structure of the songs. And that transition, you would think would feel abrupt, but just kind of flows in naturally, even though you're going in this fast paced thing. So it's this great balance of fast paced, but fitting together. And it's like, yeah, something that a lot of artists can't do. And to add to the point where they don't even do filler, bro, they don't even cheat and add filler to like the beginning and the end of the songs.
Mm-mm.
They go in guns blazing.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. And one last thing that you did point out that I didn't think about that much is, yeah, it's not very often. Well, I can't speak from enough knowledge to say whether or not alternative artists usually release albums that often apart. I'll take your word for it. But to release two solid albums back to back, being your first and second outfits that quickly, is not done very often.
Mm-mm.
So that is phenomenal for them too. So that's definitely puts them on the map for me. I mean, if they weren't, not that they weren't already, but want to go to Humbug? This was in 2009.
Yeah, and this is where I really got into them. So I like Humbug a lot. This is peak middle school for us, junior high. Oof, that's rough days. Yeah, I like... this is what... because the other two, I didn't listen to them when they came out. This was the first one I listened to when it came out. And overall, I liked it. Not as much as Favorite Worst Nightmare. I still think Favorite Worst Nightmare is probably my favorite Arctic Monkeys album, that or AM, which we'll get to in a bit. And but Humbug has some of my favorite tracks. Crying Lightning, I don't know why I like it, but I do.
Same. I think it's...
like, I don't know what's one of my favorite.
So there's something about the...
Yeah, sorry, keep going.
Go ahead.
There you go.
This is way too polite, and it's fun that we're doing this over the phone. But I'll say about Crying Lightning really quick. There's something about that, and I think it's characteristic in the way they can kind of just... It's really vague and I think kind of annoying when listeners say, what do you mean by the sound or the sound? Well, the way that the vocalist, remind me, Alex Turner, kind of has this twang and switch to his voice that goes along with the riff of the guitar when he's like yelling and belting out choruses is this like, it's this thing that for me is uniquely kind of English, like English rock. It's that stylistic thing. But it comes out when he says like, crying lightning, like that. It's almost reminds me of the Prodigy almost, his voice. And
yeah.
So blending that with this like fast paced rock, it's distinct, I guess is the best thing I can describe other than just vaguely saying sound over and over again.
Yeah, well, Crying Lightning too for me is because it sounds a lot like if Joy Division was modern. That's why I like, because it starts with a really, really nice bass line, and I love that. But I remember hearing that song a lot, or playing that song a lot, walking around doing hood rat shit, allegedly. That's definitely up there. What's what's your opinion on the album?
So I'm mostly of your opinion as well, that it wasn't as good as the previous two, in my opinion. Not to say that there were songs that were filler, it's just that there were songs that shone out or stood out a lot better than the other ones did. And it's one of those things where it's still a good enough album to where, compared to many of the other things you would review on a week-to-week basis, it would blow many of those out of the water. But I guess it's Arctic Monkeys set high expectations for themselves. And many of them were met, but
I mean,
you start to see a bit of a trend. You start to see a bit of a trend, I think, blends in the Suck It and See.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot slower, too, Humbug. Overall.
It's a bit, I mean...
Compared to the other two, and I like the change and everything, but it didn't flow as well. Especially, I didn't like the last song on the album. I don't like the Jewelers
Hands. I actually like the last song. Interesting.
I like the last song. I don't know.
I was going to say that it's definitely, I think, I don't know how to describe it. I think maybe it's a song to each their own, but I think it's a nice way to end an album. But to me, Crying Lightning, Dangerous Animals, Dance Little Liar, Fire in the Thud, and Jeweler's Hands stand out to me. So that's 5 out of 10 songs. That means you have 5 pretty good songs, like they stand up to what I expect from Arctic Monkeys, and then 5 songs that aren't as good, but that's kind of what you expect from a general album. It's just that, like, whoa, Arctic Monkeys has just been, like, putting out bangers on albums like it's nothing. You'd expect with fewer songs on this album. The first one was 13, the second one was 12, this was 10, so relatively less than the other two, but you'd expect with fewer songs, there'd be, like, okay, fewer opportunities to mess up, but... I guess, not to bleed into the next album review too much, but I felt this kind of stagnation coming
with
the Arctic Monkeys and what they could do with their sound that bled into Suck It and See.
Yeah, because Suck It and See was really felt bland to me, like, because until then, 2011, there was a lot of good shit that was coming out. That's...
2011 was like a mini renaissance for like.
Yeah, because 2011, 2012 is when alternative started to shift into the more electronic era. I mean, that's 2012 was when Muse came out with the Second Law. 2011 was Coldplay, Milo Xylo, Radiohead, Akina Limbs, just to name a few. And that's when a lot of stuff started to change sounds. I mean, M83 came out with his album 2011. And I mean, I don't call him as like. Alternative, but that's just the scene of music in general, and they felt behind a bit because it was still they had their sound and they stuck to it for Suck It and See. I mean, it's not a bad album by all means. I mean, Black Treacle, if I can fucking say that right, and Brick by Brick are really strong songs. But the rest is pretty bog standard, as I like to say, and nothing. Really revolutionary, at least in my opinion, in that time when a lot of different stuff was coming out. And I remember when this came out and I go, oh, it's kind of blandish compared, because you could feel a new wave coming of music.
This was another case where I didn't hear Suck It and See at the same time you did, so I guess you heard it right when it came out. I heard it a little bit later, because I just didn't hear it immediately. And it definitely wasn't my favorite Arctic Monkeys album for
was this junior
a
year
number of reasons, but
sophomore year of high school for us. Suck It and See.
Yeah, that's about right, allegedly. Apparently, but
allegedly.
Some say. Did you know they're filming like this whole AP bio thing from our high school?
What do you mean?
Like, they're filming a new NBC show there, and it's shameless that they even kept the whole mascot and everything, but it's sad.
Oh, no. Jesus, I can't... nope, I'm pulling the plug on my vocal cords right now. Things would have been said.
We were doing really good. Let's not derail this. I think with Suck It and See, the Arctic Monkeys tried to... adapt their sound by developing a slower album. And this is definitely the slowest paced album that Arctic Monkeys had released to, I would say have released to date, even with AM. But
AM isn't slow at all.
We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. I'd say it's the slowest album they've released still. And there are some songs that are a little bit more upbeat, but this is, if you're thinking of Arctic Monkeys and you have this idea of what they sound like from the first three albums, and maybe a hint of Humbug, this tends more to the slower parts of Humbug, but it's not that the Arctic Monkeys lose themselves in slower songs, but I felt like they hadn't done enough slower songs to figure out their range, because I think it's harder than it looks to develop your sound and develop, okay, how do you put it in different angles? And that's why it's easy to create certain genres, certain subgenres of EDM, where it's kind of the same pace all the time, it's the same structure, and you can't do much with it. It's hard to develop your sound for different paces, different beats, different structures themselves, while still maintaining something true to yourself. And you can see the Arctic Monkeys, I think, putting in a good faith effort to trying to do that, but this would have been better off as like some demos or some one-offs, because as an album, it doesn't feel like it has the same flow or completeness as even the other ones do.
Yeah.
And this one had a few more songs than Humbug back at 12, so back at like favorite worst nightmare territory.
I'm sorry? You like blocked out for like 2 seconds.
No worries. This had 12 songs, so we're back at favorite worst nightmare territory.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean,
that's about it. What are the songs I like? Yeah, Black Treacle's okay. Yeah, there aren't really many songs.
It's kind of a passover album for both of us, and I couldn't get back into it. It's not like the Keena Limbs where I did a complete 180 when that came out. But this never did. So we'll move on to AM, which is to me their best album.
I'll do you one further. To me, it's the top five alternative albums of all time, period.
I could definitely see argument, honestly, for that. AM came out in 2013, and 2013 was a fucking amazing year in music. That's when...
Should have had an audio face then with our, like, squealy-ass voices. You think it's bad now.
2013 was rough to be Sean in 2013. You don't want to be Sean in 2013. It's bad days. Yeah, so that's when like Daft Punk came out with Random Access Memories.
Jesus.
Amok came out for Atoms for Peace. I mean, just 2013 was a fantastic year of music. And with that, AM came out. And I was pretty excited for the release of this. And it did not disappoint. The only thing I was disappointed was how overplayed Do I Want to Know started to become. But anyways, start an album...
Settled came out
what?
In 2013. I'm sorry, I'm just like looking through 2013.
Oh, Disclosure, yeah, Disclosure Settle came out in 2013. I mean, but some of the tracks were played in 2012 and 2011 in Boiler Room and stuff, which we already knew, but for the people. That's when EDM stuff started getting more up, but then AM was kind of the pinnacle of the year. If you start an album with Do I Want to Know, Are You Mine, One for the Road, and Arabella as your four first tracks, that is really, really hard to beat. Just right there on those four opening tracks. And then I Want It All to come right after that. Like, Jesus Christ. The entire album from top to bottom is fantastic. There is not one song on AM that is out of place or underwhelming at all. It is really one of the best like written albums top to bottom with a flow. That makes any sense.
Composed, produced.
Yeah, the like, production, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Production.
T's crossed, I's dotted. Like
in cursive, not Times New Roman bullshit. I want cursive.
Not done the night before.
No, not done the night before.
Laminated,
coffee spilled. Laminated in a three ring binder.
Laminated.
Wow. Jeez.
Daddy daycare. Don't sleep.
God. Flashback. Now I'll flash back.
I literally will pull out the most random references. It will hit you like a truck.
You really did. Jesus. That's a big major throwback. Anyways, yeah, they're top of the top. And why I'm extremely excited for their newest album on Friday. Because if they can, and I'm glad also they took their time with this next one, because all the other albums were either a year or 2 years apart. And this one that's coming out in a couple of days is 5 years. You have 5 years to not fuck up.
So, yeah, the Arctic Monkeys did like a mostly 2 year release period between Whatever People Say AM, That's Why I'm Not AM. And now they've done like a 5 year hiatus, which I think is really good for a band to like really kind of figure out what their sound is. But I really, before I go on, I need to talk about AM.
Oh yeah, talk about
AM. Yeah, so because I think in economics all the time, I think of a graph in the first quadrant, so like in the positive quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I'm listening to an album, actually, I think of like the first and the fourth quadrant. So negative and positive. I think of an album starting at zero. And then I rank like how I feel about each song, like either higher or lower than the last. And based on how that graph looks, I can kind of get like the flow of the album and the ideal, right?
Yeah.
This album doesn't really skip a beat until like number one, Party Anthem. And like, that's only because it's a definitely slower song. And so that moves this album into like the meat and potatoes, like the really middle of it, where it's kind of taking you on the journey, and the journey is like you're in the really in the weeds of it. And then once you go through Mad Sounds and Fireside, you're like back through this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such this dramatic like climax of it. And maybe I'm using journey and climax too much describing sex, but like this album is a made for glorious sex. And B, it really is. Like, if you don't listen to this album and find a significant other to enjoy, if that's your thing and you're into that, then I don't know what you're doing, because this is the album to do it. Like, this is the Marvin Gaye of alternative rock. I don't think I'm exaggerating.
There are a few albums that definitely do that, and this is one of them.
But okay, I don't even have to say that, but this album has no filler, has not even a second of it, and I'm not exaggerating, not a second of it that feels extra.
No, no. Every song flows together, everything fits and is like, perfect, basically.
The only other alternative album that I've ever come away from the sense of completeness, like everything has its place, funny intended, maybe In Rainbows and Demon Days. Like, yeah, this definitely.
It's up there. It's up there.
I mean, like, I'm not ranking like total quality, although we're talking about alternative albums that were released in the same period, definitely up there. Like I said, I would have the albums I just listed and AM easily in a top 10, very debatably in a top 5 for definitely me personally, and I would make a really strong argument for just all of alternative music. But AM, it's like really hard to beat. And so to allude to the next album, it makes me excited for the next album. However, also they've cautious. Taken their time. Mm-hmm. They're going to make it sound different. They have premiered 4 new songs live. Mm-hmm. We have the rule. We didn't talk about that deliberately, but that does exist. And we're going to know soon enough. I mean, this podcast is going up on Thursday morning. So we'll be, you're going to know in at least a day. And we'll be talking about it on Audio Face on Sunday. definitely Sunday. I'll be graduating on Saturday.
Jesus Christ, you are.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I don't but, even know.
Okay, so let's a couple more things here. Just like a little bit more. So with Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, it's supposed to be more piano heavy, I guess. And you're a big fan of piano. And so what does that make you think? Let's do a little bit of like guessing here. Because we've never done that before, and let's see if this is fun. What could you think, if you could put yourself in the seat of you're describing the album on Sunday, how do you think you would be able to describe the sound of it? Based on what you've heard and based on what you know of Arctic Monkeys. I have an idea if you'd like need some time to think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you go first. I'm going to have to like really think about
this. A little bit?
Yeah, think.
That's fine. I was fleshing out the question. I was fleshing out the question as I was saying it, as you could probably tell. So I don't blame you for not being able to come up with an answer immediately, dumbass. So my answer is I'm expecting it to... I don't know if this is a cheat, but I'd say it's going to try to pick up the parts of... I don't think they're going to try to recreate AM. I think they know better than themselves to do that. Otherwise, they might have tried to release an album in 2015, and they would have probably, like... They would have had really high expectations to meet. And I think they saw in Humbug that they can release two good albums back-to-back that are really solid and, like, fall off the bar and then, you know, maybe lose their way. And a lot of artists fail at that. And so I am cautiously optimistic that the Arctic Monkeys are going to be a little bit smarter and that they're going to add maybe like a almost moon-shaped pool piano kind of sound or like ominousness tone to it while still keeping a lot of the rock. So if anything, I'd say it's like you add piano to favorite worst nightmare. Might be the vibe of this, if you ask me. So you'll get a little bit of AM through the mix of that, but it's not going to be like a lot like AM, if I had to guess.
No, I think it's going to be... I was going to say like a Keen of Limbs, Moon-Shaped Pool, where you have a bit more production and backing to each song, where you have more instrumentation, different sounds coming in the background of each song. So you have piano. I think they'll... I wonder if they're going to start experimenting with electronics. Hopefully don't do the same shit that everybody does. Please. I know you're better than that. And with that, they can make very eerie, beautiful sounds. And I'm hoping that's what they do. And judging from a couple of the... like, live is totally different than a recorded album. But just from the little snippets that I've heard, it could end up being that way. Where you have a mixture of both fast-paced and slow, but everything's flowing together. More acoustic as well, but not...
You think you'll get some acoustic guitar?
Yeah, but not stripped down at all. As in, like Keen of Limbs, where you add... something's going to be added on top of an acoustic guitar. Maybe piano, backing vocals, looped vocals, maybe something like that, where you can add layers and layers and layers and make something really nice. 10 Years Gone.
Yeah.
The Zeppelin type, where it's just looped guitar 15 times. Something like that.
I can't see Arctic Monkeys doing a loop guitar 15 times thing, but nor can I see them making acoustic the main part of their song unless it's like the first part of the album or like the first, the album opener.
Yeah.
Like maybe that, maybe the album ender for like some, ooh, maybe this is what they'll go next or maybe this is the end, you know, to be ominous and dramatic. But I like your take. I know you want to see more, piano, more acoustic and things, and so like definitely that might be something you're seeing there. I just like bass. Of all kinds. That's my bias. Arctic Monkeys are usually good at delivering it, but I'm expecting a really rocky kind of fun thing going on here.
Yeah, it'll be good. But for sure, as you will hear our reviews this coming Sunday on
Yes, make sure you're subscribed. I don't know if we asked this, but if you just randomly listen to this podcast, it's like, oh, I'll listen to this episode because I've never listened to Audioface before. And this one's short. Well, subscribe so you can get all of our
reviews. That straight might happen with the 1975 because we've got fangirls and shit that want to listen to everything. So, you never know.
You mean your type?
No.
You can follow me on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And on Twitter, Dan from the Web. You can follow Sean on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can feel Sean like beaming right
you
now.
You just feel, I'm just shaking my head right now, just waiting to go up to Free Speech Studios and fucking chokehold your ass. Fucking stand me down.
Hot.
Whoa, pause.
All right, well,
rip
headphones. Subscribe. No, I'm good at editing. I know how to handle clipping. Subscribe, follow, do all the things that listeners and influencers request you do. But seriously, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. Cheers.